purpose of Christmas is really all summed up in one verse. It's in the most famous verse of the scripture. And it is entitled, it comes to us from John 3:16, and it simply says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, so that whosoever believes in him would not perish, but would have everlasting life. Now that right there is really the whole purpose of Christmas. God so loved the world and he loved us so much that he gave us the first Christmas gift. The whole gift exchanging tradition, it began with God. He so loved you and he so loved me and those that were born before us and those that will be born after us. He loved us all so much that he said, let me give you a gift. So the first Christmas gift was the gift of Jesus Christ, his son. He's the first Christmas gift. And may I tell you, he's the best gift. He's the most expensive gift. He's the greatest gift. He's the most all-encompassing gift that you will ever receive. And when you got Jesus, the reason I say he's the most encompassing gift is because when you got him, you got everything. I said, when you got him, you got everything. And I want you to jot this down. There's a scripture I want to read to you out of Romans 8:32. And it says, since God did not spare his own son, but he gave him up for us all, then can we not expect that with him, with who? With the one he gave up? Can we not expect that with him, God would freely give us all of his gifts? Since God did not spare his own son, but he gave him up for us all, then can we not expect that with him, somebody say with him, that with him, God will freely give us all of the gifts? What he's saying to us is that if God gave his son, when he gave his son, he gave you all of the gifts. Not just whenever you get the big gift, you see this? Whenever you accept the big gift and you say yes to the big gift, you not always, it's like, have you ever got a gift that somebody gave you and there was a gift within the gift? Like you opened up the box and in the box you found another box, and you opened up that box that was in the box that you found and you found another box. And that's why we call him the gift that keeps on giving. Because the more you dig, the more you discover. You discover that the God that saved you is the God that can heal you. He's the God that can deliver you and the God that can provide for you. He's the God that brings healing to your body and restoration to your marriages and help with your finances. And when you don't know what to do with that child that you're trying to raise and you don't know where to turn, you can turn to him and just reach down into the gift and say, God, I need to know how to raise this child. And in that gift, you'll find a comforter. You'll find a counselor. You'll find the Prince of Peace, the Rose of Sharon, the Lily of the Valley. You'll find all of that because all of that comes with him. He's the gift that keeps on giving. Well, God so loved the world that he gave us the big gift that is called Jesus Christ. He's so big that Isaiah said, man, when I opened him up, I found a wonderful counselor. I found a mighty God. And I found an everlasting father. I found the Prince of Peace. Look at somebody and tell him, I dare you to dig a little deeper. He is the original. Jesus Christ is the original Christmas gift. And if I don't get what I wanted this year, I still got everything. Because when I got him, I got it all. I got peace. I got joy. I got strength. I got life. He gave me purpose. He gave me destiny. He gave me eyes. He gave me hands. He gave me a face. He gave me ears. He gave me hair. He gave me peace. He gave me everything. When I lay down at night, I know he protects me. He watches over me. He gave me my right mind. He gave me the activity of my limbs. He gave me joy. He gave me self-esteem. When I got him, I got everything. I got all the stuff that they talked about today. Hope, peace, all of those gifts, love. I got all of that when I accepted the big gift. There's a gift up here today, and it's got your name on it. And there's so much more to it. One of the things that you'll get when you accept the big gift If you're taking notes, you can write this down. One of the things that he gives you is a new identity. See, many times we lose our identity. We lose it in because of things that people try to make us be. You know, people try to squeeze us into this, and they think you should do this, and they think you should do that, and you should act like this, and if you're not careful, you'll find yourself losing who you really are at the core, because you're trying to please everybody and you're trying to get everybody's approval. So you lose your identity. Sometimes your identity is stolen. You know, have you ever shopped at Home Depot or some of those places, and they'll call you and say that our system has been hacked, and now your credit card numbers have been taken, and now your identity is possibly at risk. So it was stolen. Sometimes it's stolen by parents who think you're going to be one thing, but they're gonna push you in the way that they think that you ought to go. But in your heart, you know, I wasn't born for that. That's not who I am. And so you live your whole life growing up torn between, they want me to be this, but I believe God has called me to be that. And so you got parents sometimes that steal your identity. You got friends. You got peers. There's pressure on your job. People try to say you should do this and you should do that. Society will steal your identity. It will, culture itself will steal your identity. The media is good at stealing your identity. They will put faces on a magazine cover that tells you you should look like this. People lose their identity every day. Sometimes it's not just lost, and sometimes it's not just stolen, but sometimes we attach our identity to things that we have the potential to lose. And when you attach who you are to something that you have the potential to lose, oh yes, I am his wife. What's she gonna do when he walks out and leaves you? Who are you then? Yes, I'm her best friend. What are you gonna do when the friendship dissolves? Who are you then? There are so many people that are even sitting in this room today that you put your identity in people, or you put your identity in things. Yes, that's my house. That's my car. Yes, I wear those kind of clothes and I wear those kind of shoes. And you put your identity in your career. What you gonna do when your career crumbles? Because what happens is your identity crumbles with it. That's my job. What are you gonna do when the job is taken away from you? Who are you when you lose the job? Who are you when you lose the house? Who are you when your portfolio falls apart? Who are you when you can't run with the football as fast as you used to run? Oh, they used to sing your praises because I am a football player. But what are you gonna do when you don't have that strength anymore? What are you gonna do when the beauty fades and they don't want your face on the cover anymore? Anytime you attach your identity to things that can be taken or things that can be lost, then you will lose your identity too. But when you build your identity on the fact that God loves you and he loves you unconditionally, when you do that, you are building your identity in something that can never, ever, ever be taken away from you. You might leave me and you might leave me, but one thing I know for sure is the gift that I got when I got Jesus, I got somebody who will never walk out of my life and leave me. So now that I know him, I am a new creature in Christ Jesus. So because I'm a new creature, I have a new identity. When I accepted the big gift, when I accepted Jesus, I became a new person with a new identity. And now my life has never been the same. And so now people are no longer able to define us by our failures. Yeah, I did that, but I'm not that. Yes, I failed, but I'm not a failure. Yes, I have faults, but at the end of the day, now I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus, and now I have a new identity. And people try their hardest. They don't always mean harm, but they try to point you in the direction that you should go. But the truth be told, people don't even know your identity. You don't really even know it yourself. The only one who knows what he put in you before the foundations of the world is Jesus. So it's him that you got to know. He's the one that made you. He formed you. He gave you the personality that you got. There's a reason you are like you are. And he knows the whole plan for your life. So to hear him, you have to stop listening to the lies, the voices that have been in your life all of your life that's telling you you're not this, you're not that, you're not made to do that. Sometimes in order to hear God and what he's made you, you got to tell those lies, shut up, shut up, shut up. You know, the voices that say, if you're not the cutest, you don't matter. If you're not the most popular in school, you don't matter. If you're not the smartest, you don't matter. If you're not the best athlete on the team, then you really don't matter. If you're not the most famous person in the crowd, then you really don't matter. Which means 99.9% of us in this room today and those watching online don't matter. But how many of you know that is a lie? All lives matter. I said all lives matter. So you got to shut down those lies. The lies that you grew up hearing. The lies that said you'll never be anything. You'll always be worthless. You might as well forget it. You'll never be what your sister was. You'll never be what your brother was. Who in the world do you think you are? You're too old. You're too young. You're too fat. You're too skinny. You're too lean. You're too stupid. You hear all of these voices over and over and over and over again. When you accept Jesus Christ, the big gift, the old voices, the old things, the old identities pass away, and you become a new creature because you have a new identity in Christ, and you can no longer be defined by who you were. You're no longer defined by what they say, but you are now defined by what God says to you. And you know what he says? He says, I think you're valuable. I think you're valuable. I think you're lovable, and I think you're forgivable, and I think you're comparable, and I think you're usable, and I think that you are blessable. See, that is the voice that you've got to listen to. You can't let television or MTV or VH1 or all the stuff that plays today define who you are. The only way you'll know who you are, according to John 8:32, it says, if you'll follow in my words, Jesus is talking, he said, if you'll follow in my words, not by what comes off the TV, not by somebody who says they love you, but if you'll follow in my words, then you'll know the truth of who you are. And the truth is what is able to make you free. Free from your old identity, free from your old lifestyle. Free from the old way that you used to act. Free from the lies that have haunted you all of your life. You don't learn that from turning on the television. You learn the truth about you from Jesus. He's the one that made you. He knows you. He made you tick like you tick. He made you think like you think. And he has the ability to make you free. And guess what? It all comes in the big gift that you get when you get Jesus Christ. So the first thing he gives you is a new identity. The second thing he gives you is, if you'll keep digging in the box, you'll find a new ability. A new ability, that means new power and new strength. You feel like you can't change the things about you that you despise. You feel like, God, I've been this way all my life, and I've tried to have the willpower to change it. Willpower don't work, but God's power does. I said, God's power does. And when you tap into God's power, when you open up the gift, you'll find that there is a new ability. The stuff that you couldn't deal with before, now you have the grace to deal with it. Because there is a new power that has come to you. There is a new gift that has come to you. And it was all yours when you accepted the big gift called Christ Jesus. You know what he said? I put my spirit in you. When you accepted me, I opened you up and I put my spirit in you. Not with you, not around you, not for you, but I put it down inside of you, and it is working in you according to Philippians 2:13. For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power, the desire and the power, the desire and the power to fulfill his good purpose in your life. God is saying, I'm giving you not just the desire, because sometimes we have the desire. We know that we want to change and we know that we should change, but we don't have the power. But that verse right there tells you, I'm going to give you both. I'm going to give you the desire to be different. And then I'm going to give you the power to be different. I don't care who it didn't work for. It's going to work for you. My word is going to get in you. And it's going to change everything about you. I am giving you the power and the desire to touch somebody and tell them it's all in the big gift. gift. So he said, I gave you a new identity. I gave you a new ability. The third thing he says is, I'm going to give you a new family. When you get the big gift, down deep inside of that box is a family. Because God has always wanted a family. When you get that gift, you find a family. You find a support system, because God says it's not good that man should be alone. It's never been his will for you to be completely alone. Look at somebody and tell him, you weren't meant to do life alone. You were meant to know God. You were meant to have a family, because you know what a family does? A family supports you. So God says, I'm meant for you to have a spiritual family that would support you. And Ephesians 1 and 5 says that his unchanging plan has always been to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through the big gift, who is Jesus Christ. He's always planned to adopt you. You know what that means? That means you can't just automatically be in God's family. You've got to be adopted into the family. How does he adopt us? Through the big gift called Jesus Christ. That's how he adopts us into the family. He's saying, I don't want you to just believe in me. I want you to be a part of my family. I want you to come to church. I want you to forsake not the assembling of yourself together, because you need a family. And the only way you'll ever get that family is by choosing to receive the big gift. And if you'll receive the big gift, which is Jesus Christ, I will adopt you and I will make you my very own. But you have to make that decision. Once you make the decision, I'll give you a new identity. I'll give you a new ability. I will give you a new family. And according to 1 Timothy 3 and 15, he says that family is the church of the living God. Oh, the church of the living God is a family. It's not a business. Do you know how many people are trying to run churches like a business? They're trying to run it like it's an organization, or they try to run it like a denomination, or they try to run it like a club. But God said right there in 1 Timothy 3:15, the family is the church of the living God. The church is a family. And that family is the church of the living God, and it is the support and the foundation of truth. You need that foundation of truth. You need that support, because without it, you can never become everything that God has called you to become. Tell somebody, we're better together. You know why we're better together? Because I got gifts that you don't have. And guess what? You got gifts that they don't have. And guess what? Y'all got gifts that none of us have. And what we do as the body of Christ, we compensate for one another. I can't do what Travis did today. I can't get up out here and act like that. Travis was good. Someone give Travis a great big hand. I can't do that, and neither can most of you. But that's what the body of Christ is. We compensate. When you're weak, I am strong. When you need prayer, I can stand in the gap for you. When I need prayer, you can stand in the gap for me. And we cover one another, and we love one another, and we're there in hard times. If you have a need, I make sure that I try to meet that need. And when I have a need, somebody meets my need. We are families. That's what families do. Families are where you are loved. Families are where you are wanted. Families are where you are needed. Families are where you can be forgiven and you can be supported. I don't care who don't forgive my kids out there. They are mine. I will forgive you. Come on home. I made a bad choice, Mom. Come on home. Let's just get back to doing what we do, because we are a family. And if you don't know the love of a family, I'm telling you, it's all in the gift. For in Christ's family, there are no divisions, there are no distinctions between the Jew and the non-Jew, the slave and the free, the male and the female. Instead, we are all equal in the common. We are all equal in a common relationship with Jesus Christ. How are we equal? In a common relationship with Jesus Christ. That scripture right there means that God's family is not based on your heredity. It's not based on your ethnicity. It's not based on your nationality. It's not based on your sexuality. It's based on the fact that we are all loved by one person whose name is Jesus Christ. So in the potter's house, We are people from all different backgrounds, all different sizes, all different shapes, all different colors, all different races, all different ethnicities, all different economical stages. We are made up of all kinds of things because that's how the body of Christ is supposed to look. It's not supposed to look like a black church, and it is not supposed to look like a white church. It is supposed to be all of us, Indian, Caucasian, African American, Korean, Swahili, whoever you are, the body of Christ. We are a nation, a holy nation, a holy nation, a peculiar people. So I will wrap my part of the gift up by telling you this. When you receive the big gift, Jesus is the big gift. When you receive him, you receive a new identity, a new ability, a new family. And the fourth thing that you receive is the gift of a new destination. Look at somebody and tell him, I ain't going where I was going. 1 Peter 1:4 says, and God has reserved for his children the priceless gift. Tell somebody it's a gift, it's a gift, it's a gift. God has reserved for his children the priceless gift of eternal life. And it is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change, beyond the reach of decay. Romans 6:23 says, the free gift of God is eternal life. And you get it through the big gift, who is Jesus, who is Christ the Lord. All of it comes in the package. And guess what? You can't earn eternal life. You can't deserve eternal life. You can't bribe your way into eternal life. You can't even talk your way into it because it is free. It is a gift. It is inside the big gift. It's all in the package that God so loved the world that he gave to you. And I know for the last few days, everybody has been searching here, there, and everywhere, trying to find the perfect gift for their child. You know what God says about that? In Matthew 7:11, he says, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Look at somebody, tell him, you gotta ask, 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 for the key to getting the gifts is that you ask. So let's summarize it. God says, I sent you the first Christmas gift, and I gave it to you in the gift of my son, and he died for you. Because he died for you, now you can come alive in him, and you can have a new identity. You can have a new ability. That means you have the power to change what you thought you would never be able to change, and the things that you might have even tried to change about you on your own, you couldn't change it. But when you got him, he'll help you change those things. He said, I gave you the gift also of a family. I gave you somebody to support you. And he said, and I'm going to give you a new destination. And guess what? That destination doesn't have to be hell. It doesn't have to be death. It doesn't have to be the grave. And it doesn't have to be final. Because I've given you the gift of eternal life. Woo! I've given you eternal life. Meaning that if you die here today, you still ain't dead. They might bury your outer temple, but that inner man will be rejoicing in the presence of God. So I close with this, that it makes no difference who you are or where you've come from. If you want the big gift and you want the new identity and the new ability and the new family and the new destination, God says the door is open. It's here. The big gift has got your name on it. Last night I asked myself some questions. I just was thinking, why was Jesus born in a stable, laid in a manger? He was a king. Why would God not let him be born in a palace? Why was he in a little town called Bethlehem when he was just a few miles away from a big holy city called Jerusalem. Why? Why was his birth announced to shepherds in the field instead of to the religious elite? Why didn't God just say to the religious people, I'm bringing a Messiah into the earth? But instead, you know what he does? He announces it to the shepherds. While shepherds were in the field, he announced it to them. Why did he choose the Jewish people for the lineage of his son? Why the Jew? I mean, if he would have picked the Romans, they were mighty. They had military power. Surely God might, what would make him pick the Jew over the Romans or the Greeks? I mean, the Greeks had all kinds of wisdom. Or the Egyptians, they had the most awesome gifts of art. He is creative, you know. Why? Why didn't his lineage come through those people, but instead it came through the Jew? So the only answer that I came up with was that God reveals himself to those who are humble enough to receive him. The shepherds were humble enough to receive the news. The Jews were humble enough to receive the news. Bethlehem was humble enough to receive him. So those that God will reveal himself to must be humble, and they must invite him in, and they must make room for him. So Potter's House North, my prayer for you today is Ephesians 3:17, and it says, I pray that Christ will be more and more at home in your hearts as you trust him. The more you trust him, the more he feels at home. The more you open up, the more he feels at home. And my prayer is that your roots will go down deep into the soil of God's marvelous love. And I pray that you will be able to feel and not just know, but I need you to feel sometimes so that you can understand how wide and how long and how deep and how high his love for you really is. And I pray that you experience it on an individual basis. So I wrap up our program today by telling you, not only does he give you love and joy and peace and hope, but he gives you a new identity. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are new. He gives you new abilities. He gives you a new family. And he gives you a new destination. And that destination is not hell. That destination is eternal life. And guess what? It's all in the big gift called Jesus. For God so loved you that he gave his only begotten son.